Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. If you can't trust your brain, what can you trust? It's like the time you hugged Bugs Bunny at Disneyland, which never actually happened, but you've got that great memory of it. So what about getting rid of painful memories, memories that can make living difficult, having PTSD or an addiction or anxiety? Can those memories be erased? And if yes, what are the ethics of changing a memory? These are some of the issues that are considered by Dr. Joseph Ledoux. Dr. Ledoux is the Henry and Lucy Moses Professor of Science at New York University in the Center for Neuroscience and the director of NYU's Emotional Brain Institute. And among other things, he's written some amazing books. The most recent one is Anxious. So Dr. Ledoux, welcome to The Source.
Thanks for having me.
We invite your phone calls, your conversation to join us. The number is 210-614-8980. If you want to talk about memories, your memories that you've got locked down that actually didn't really happen. And you're giving a lecture tonight from 5:30 to 7. The lecture is When Memory Deceives, Current and Emerging Trends in Memory Manipulation. It's at the UT Health Science Center, Pestana Lecture Hall. So what's wrong with my memory? I don't have a great memory. It's everything just – the car keys just move on by themselves. So what's wrong with that?
Well, memory is, you know, a process of using the past to help us in the future. It's not our ability to simply reflect on our last birthday or the good old days. It's about changing the brain in a way that when you encounter something again in the future – you'll be better equipped to deal with it. Now, in the process of doing that, a lot of things have to happen. The brain is incorporating lots of information about a situation. It's not like a snapshot that gets stored as a unitary thing. There are lots of pieces of a situation that are stored separately. And when you remember those things in the future, it's a matter of reconstructing those pieces and reassembling the puzzle, so to speak. So the pieces that get reassembled are not necessarily put together in exactly the same way that they were initially stored, and not all of the pieces are there, so we do a lot of filling in of the blanks, and sometimes when we fill it in, we fill it in inaccurately. So memory is pretty good. It gets us through the day most of the time, but sometimes we do depend on it and it fails us. In eyewitness testimony, for example, there are countless illustrations of people who will swear by a certain fact that they experienced, but it turns out that they didn't actually experience it that way. Memory is deceitful in that sense.
So a memory that people have, you witnessed a crime or something happened to you, and it's not something putting away in a filing cabinet, and then when you regurgitate it, it comes out whole and exactly the way it is. Every time that you recompile that memory of the experience that you went through, it is subject to influence and could be manipulated.
Exactly.
And this is a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, it's a good thing because what happens is every time you retrieve a memory, it is a new memory. Right, because you're not the same person you were when you stored that memory 5 years ago. Let's say something happened to you 5 years ago. You met somebody or something, and you haven't thought about that person for a long time, and now you see that person 5 years later. But maybe some of the things that have gone on in your life have changed the way you are with respect to that person. So when you see that person now, you have to update that memory in light of what you know about them. So it's a new memory, and that memory has to be restored. And it turns out that restored memory is the memory you move forward with. So to the extent that this theory, which is it's still a theory, but it's becoming more and more accepted, to the extent that memory is restored or reconsolidated each time it's retrieved, that means your memory is only as good as your last memory of that particular thing.
So our ancient ancestors in the Serengeti, as they try to remember where the bush with the berries is, they have to think about it in terms about their changing locations. It doesn't do any good to remember precisely where that bush is if I'm no longer in the original location where I discovered the bush. I need to have some flexibility in my memory in order to retrieve useful and survivable, actionable information.
Right. That's a good example because you probably don't have a GPS kind of memory of exactly where that bush was, right? So you, when you think about it, you kind of approximate it. And then when you actually go to find it or avoid it or whatever, you find out it's actually somewhere slightly different. So when that happens, you have to update the memory to make it more accurate. Now, this is a very useful thing because it allows us to improve our memories, but it also offers the opportunity to make mistakes. And there's, you know, in some sense, every memory we have is a false memory. Because it is a reconstruction on the basis of incomplete information. But most of the time that the inaccuracy is relatively trivial, and so we can go on with our lives in a pretty normal way and not be disturbed by that. But there are instances where memories are more false than others, and it's just a matter of how false they are in a way. So when the person goes to court and testifies and is, you know, under the stress of the testimony, you kind of have to almost convince yourself that you're telling the truth, right? Even though you may not, you may convince yourself that you are. Or maybe you have the opposite reaction, that you do remember it, but you're doubting the memory that you actually have. So there are lots of things that go on when we retrieve memories and try to vouch for their validity.
And so memories is a It's a useful trope for Hollywood. I mean, we see it, and it was the movie Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. It was talking about memory manipulation, the Total Recall film, the Philip K. Dick story that inspired that. I'm thinking about Kung Fu, the original TV series with the kid always going to the flashback and remembering his lessons of Kung Fu. But it's never like that.
Right.
You know, things are more subtle and nuanced and ephemeral.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Eternal Sunshine came out about 4 years after we published our study that sort of set this whole idea in motion that we could change the brain and perhaps dampen or erase memories as a result of that. Now, I don't know if Charlie Kaufman, who wrote the screenplay, actually knew about our study, but some people have said he may have, that it may have been part of his inspiration. The idea is very similar. What they did in the film was the Jim Carrey's character went to the memory erasure company.
Now, he had a bad relationship.
He had a bad relationship. So
wanted
he went
to forget
to
all about
it.
The girl.
Right. And I can't tell you how many times I've gotten calls about erasing the memory of my wife, ex-wife.
Well, that's terrible. But that doesn't exist right now. But we do know a lot more about memories, and that fresh memories can be manipulated, can be blocked from becoming permanent memories, and we are learning much more about how to deal with memories, painful memories, particularly of people with post-traumatic stress disorder. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more when we come back from the break. We're talking with Dr. Joe Ledoux. He is the director of the Ledoux Lab at the New York University. He is giving a lecture this evening. It's at 5:30 to 7, When Memory Deceives, Current and Emerging Trends in Memory Manipulation. It's the UT Health Science Center, Pestana Lecture Hall. And we'll have more on this. If you want to join the conversation, the number is 210-614-8980. Got questions about memory, improving memory, call to give us a call. This is The Source on KSTX. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davis. Do you trust your memory? Well, maybe you shouldn't. Not only does your brain lie to you about your life and your experiences, but those memories, they could be deleted and possibly edited. This could be a treatment for PTSD, drug addiction, anxiety. But is it ethical? We're speaking with Dr. Joe Ledoux. He is a professor, a scientist. He is a world-leading scientist in memory and memory-changing manipulation, giving a lecture tonight at UT Health Science Center. So PTSD, we know it happens not just to soldiers on the battlefield, but also to people who are subject to terrible victimizing crimes. They have trouble moving forward in life. The memory of the emotional memory of these events are so traumatic that, and we've come up with treatments, okay, that have been able to I guess, turn down the emotional memory of these issues?
Well, this is the hope. It's not, we're not quite there at this point. We've done this quite a bit in animal studies, which have led the way to this whole process. And what we can do in the animal studies is take a memory of something that's dangerous for the animal and dampen its impact. Now, some people call that memory erasure, but it's never erasure. There's always some remaining component of the memory. So the rat in a situation of danger will typically freeze. So if you dampen the memory, they'll freeze less, but they still freeze to some extent. Now, the importance of this is that it was moved forward as a potential treatment for traumatic memories. Now, the first thing we have to realize is that we're not changing or editing or deleting conscious memories about the situation. What we're dampening is the emotional memory, the kind of memory that would allow you to your brain to detect and respond to a threat, for your heart to beat faster, to move blood around your body and prepare you for the fight-flight response, for your muscles to tense up so that you'd be ready to engage in fight and so forth. So these are not conscious memories. We're not changing the way the person views the world. We're not changing the way they view their trauma. The idea would be to change the ability of these trigger cues to elicit arousal and hyperarousal that interferes with the treatment process. Because if you're so aroused, so upset about the memory, then you can't do anything to sort of cognitively cope with it.
So does the brain store the chemical impressions, the engrams, I don't know what it is, of a terrible experience? So we have different types of memories. We remember the intellectual facts of the situation. We have the muscle memory. We remember the smell. We remember the emotional component of the event in different parts of the brain.
Right.
And then, so when I remember that event, those things are recompiled and presented, you know, to me to remember, to my conscious self?
So when you consciously remember, you can only remember the conscious memories, right? So the stuff that you were conscious of at the moment is what you can consciously recall later. Now, underneath that are a lot of other things like the racing of the heart and the sweating of the palms and the arousal and so forth.
The hot-faced shame of an event.
Well, that is a conscious memory. So, but the body responses are controlled non-consciously. For example, the part of the brain responsible for so-called conscious memory is the hippocampus. It will allow you to remember who you're with, where you're going, why you were in the car the day you had an accident, and that it was awful. So these are all kinds of facts. Even the fact that it was awful is a fact. But the when you go back to that same street intersection or see the same kind of car, you will be your non-conscious mind, a part of the brain called the amygdala, will be triggered, and you will have all the body responses of stress that accompany that. So at the same time, you'll be having a conscious memory, but you'll be your non-conscious mind will be generating these responses, which then creates a new conscious memory that's amplified by the responses. And in the future, when you consciously remember, you'll reactivate that whole system and get more amplification of the conscious memory. So it's a kind of feed-forward, never-ending cycle. And until you can break that cycle, you can't deal with the conscious memory itself. And that's what the hope of this kind of treatment would be to dampen the non-conscious impact in the brain and body that is causing the problems in the conscious memory.
And how can this be helpful for anxiety? A person who has a panic attack, you know, just a really horrible experience for no explanation, and they associate that with a space or an event, and then so is this type of treatment can keep them from having general anxiety?
Potentially. I mean, so panic attack is a special condition because it often is triggered by a sensation in the body more than an external cue in a way. So and it would be hard to – it's hard to like – you know, but one of the standard treatments is to kind of repeat – the stimulus over and over again that's the source of the trouble until it's weakened. But you can't get at those internal signals right. So easily to weaken them. But for things like someone who develops a response to the place where they had the accident or to a place where they were bitten by a snake or to some other – to a sound that was made before someone hit them and so forth, those kinds of stimuli can be weakened because they're very precise and you can repeat those over and over again until they're less effective. And if you can dampen those responses – then the conscious memories can then be more effectively dealt with through talk therapy or cognitive therapy and so forth.
So what are the ethics in altering someone's memory? I mean, is that – I mean, it's, there's a benefit to it, right. But we associate our identity, who we are, mm-hmm. with our experiences. I am the sum of the experiences that I can remember,
right.
and also the ones that I can't remember.
Right.
But do I want to play with that?
Right. So the first thing to note about that is – there are no techniques available today to erase your memory of who you are. At this point, what we can do, and this is the good news, in fact, we can very likely dampen the emotional impact of a situation, but not change your conscious memory about it. So you still remember your trauma. You can still, you know, embrace your trauma and have all of the stuff that, that trauma therapists worry about losing if you were to erase your memory of who you are, of the trauma. We're not erasing trauma. What we're doing is attempting to dampen the impact of these stimuli so that the trauma itself, the remembered trauma, can be more effectively treated.
And someone who goes through that sort of experience, they say, who has those PTSD reactions dampened or turned down some, they're not losing their identity. They may be actually finding their identity
exactly.
back.
Because they lose their identity to their trauma. And if you can weaken that, you can help them get their self back.
Okay, let's get a caller on the air. The number is 210-614-8980 if you want to join us. Bethany is on the line. Bethany, hi. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. I was in a car accident as a passenger, and we were hit from behind with enough momentum that we were pushing to the car in front of us. And so I'm trying desperately to hang on to find the armrest on the door because all I had was my seatbelt. But my head did hit the headrest quite a bit, a few times. And then I was taken to the ER by EMS people, rigidly strapped to the hard board on top of a gurney. But the concussion was not discovered till 4 days later. I wasn't diagnosed, and I was just given a CT scan originally, and then I had to go back for an MRI, and that's when the concussion right. was.
So you're having some memory issues, Bethany?
Yes, I believe so. When I used to be quite adept at remembering people's names, once I saw their faces, I don't so much anymore, and then I may forget what I was supposed to be doing, you know, what I did 2 days ago. And
okay.
I could give you time, hour, second, when I
All
was
right.
given assignments,
okay.
things like that.
All right. So, Bethany, thank you for your call. Appreciate that. Sorry about that accident. Hope you get better. So people who receive traumatic brain injury can see that they're going to have problems with memory.
Right. I mean, it's not unlike, you know, the problems that football players have and so forth with head trauma.
Right, and so that's a physical issue that's happening to the brain. A concussion can have all sorts of issues involved in there. Let's get another caller on the air, Frank. And Frank, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yeah, well, good afternoon, John.
Oh, go ahead, Frank.
Hello?
Yes, Frank, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say that the conversation that you're having there reminds me of that movie years ago, Ben Affleck was in it. It was called Paycheck.
Sure, and another Philip K. Dick-inspired movie.
And years before that, another movie called Brainstorm.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you want to go further back, there was an episode with James Kirk being drilled psychologically with a brain machine. So, anyway, I just thought I'd bring that up, and maybe you can either confirm or deny or... Oh. Write me off as a quack.
All right, Frank. Thanks for this call. Thanks for the call and remembering those movies about memory manipulation. So this is obviously something that people are fascinated with. Hollywood has used it as something to talk about for quite some time. So do we need to set some ground rules now as we begin to approach that this is a reality?
Well, I think at this point, given the limited nature of what can be done, the ground rules should be between the therapist and the patient.
We've seen the problems of bringing up false memories,
right.
And that was a hysteria that hit I guess when like the 80s or something,
the late 90s.
Yeah, so that was terrible.
Right. This is different, though. I mean, basically all you're doing is asking the person to retrieve a memory, which is always done in a therapeutic session. By the way, every therapeutic session is a session aimed at changing memory. including these false memory accusations, because that's what therapy is about. So this is just another way of doing it. You're giving a harmless drug while the person is remembering something to dampen the emotional impact. It's, you know, it's much less controversial than, say, removing someone's brain, parts of their brain for epilepsy. You know, it's a treatment that is potentially useful, and people have to decide whether they want to do it through consent.
Dr. Joseph Ledoux, he is the author of The Emotional Brain and Anxious. Those are two of his three books. Also, he's given a lecture tonight, When Memory Deceives, Current and Emerging Trends in Memory Manipulation, is at the UT Health Science Center, Pestana Lecture Hall. And Ledoux, thank you, Dr. Ledoux, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And this is The Source on KSTX. Thanks for tuning us in.